As we get started and as we take our seats and grab our coffee, let's just go around the room very quickly, and if you want to say your name and if you have an affiliation with or why you're here, your passion for the university, and maybe your hometown. I'm Pat Duncanson. I'm from Mapleton, Minnesota, and I just have a passion to give back to an institution that is important to the state and to our family. Margaret.
Margaret Carlson. I was 25 years CEO of the University of Minnesota Alumni Association, and starting in 1987, that organization worked on regent selection as one of its priorities since that time. I live in Minnetonka.
Hi, I'm Sonia Kearns. Both of my degrees are from the university. I have long thought, until I got this appointment from Margaret Anderson Kelleher, that I had not given enough back to the university. I had reaped all the benefits, so it was a long time coming, and here I am.
I'm Jerry Rogers. I'm from Moorhead. I'm a grad from the university, several times. I'm a family doctor in with Essentia Health in Moorhead. And I found this to be a good experience to be involved with other university activities I haven't done before. And it's good to come south in the winter.
The real reason.
I'm Kathy Mattson. I'm from Burnsville. And I'm a U graduate as well, and I wanted an opportunity to give back to the U, and this came up, and I took it. I'm very happy I did.
I'm Ardell Brady from Rochester, Minnesota, current mayor there, but my connection had two daughters that graduated from the university. People said, when did I go there? I say, I didn't, but my money did. And one of the real strong connections that I have now is for over 25 years, every other year we've had the University of Minnesota Marching Band come to Rochester for the indoor concert, and we just did that again this year, the 1st of December. We had over 4,000 people again there. We have sponsorship, and now it's there's been a named scholarship after myself and my wife, and we were able to give away $500 scholarships this year, two years ago, and that scholarship has grown, and we continue to be able to give back and give scholarships to students that are in the band that are from the whole Rochester area. So that's a strong connection and a very popular one in Rochester.
Lois Josephson, Fergus Falls. History began as a child when, living in southwestern Minnesota, there weren't any higher education institutions immediately in the Southwest. So it was the university and the farming community and the farm, which was home for me, that drew students very strongly. And so the word the university was used with a tone of reverence in that time when people scrapped so hard to go to higher education. And was honored to be a graduate of the law school, and as many others have said, to have the opportunity to give back.
Jim, I'm going to interrupt. We'll have to move along a little quicker.
I'm Jim Erickson. I graduated from the law school in 1969, and I've been a lawyer, lobbyist since then. This is my second rodeo at this time, in this round.
I'm Harriet Porter, and this is my seventh year on the council. I have a Master of Business Administration from the university, a Master of Arts, and I'm still in the process of trying to complete my PhD. I'm here also to give back to the university. It's a very important part of our life and of our community.
David Fisher, I'm from Minneapolis, the 5th Congressional District, and I am also a graduate, undergraduate of the University of Minnesota College of Liberal Arts. They're still trying to tell me what that means, but I am all ears. But the University of Minnesota, to me, not only means giving back to it, but it is an economic engine and a workforce development tool for this entire upper Midwest region, if not the nation. And I think it's of critical importance, which is why I'm pleased to serve.
Joanne Stately, with the White Earth Nation, enrolled member of Minnesota Chippewa Tribe. Education has been something that has been part of my life and part of my history and part of the treaties and importance of having a higher education, and I live in Plymouth, Minnesota.
Shelley Buck, I'm with the Prairie Island Indian Community. I don't have an affiliation with the University of Minnesota. However, I believe education is highly important, and state education is very important to me. I graduated from Indiana University, so I know the importance of a state college. So I'm here to give back to the state.
Paul Taylor, SLA, 1961, Minnetonka. How's that, Pat?
That's brief, thank you.
I'm Dan Walter from Egan. My connection to the university, I spent about 6 years managing public relations in the Office of University Relations. Currently, I'm a lobbyist for a pharmaceutical company.
Jennifer Godinez, I'm originally from Illinois, but I've been in Minnesota a little while and live in St. Louis Park. My connection is really involved with students of color, communities of color, and their access to higher education, and particularly the fight for undocumented immigrant students and access to higher education, that national movement.
There have been other places when I've said, geez, I knew it this morning, but I won't do that here. My name is George Sundstrom. I'm a retired union sheet metal worker. I was appointed by Tom Rocadina because he knew that I was very interested in the university.
Good. Thank you. Thank you all. We'll be together for the next few days here. As much as I would like to make this as casual as possible, I also am going to try to keep us on a clock. So for the next few minutes, we have a few tasks ahead of us. I don't believe we have a printed agenda for the business meeting this morning, but some tasks that we need to do, or Sally, maybe we do, and I don't see it. Some tasks that we need to do is primarily we need to review the references for our three interviews this morning before lunch. It's intended that hopefully we've all seen the written reference reports. I would like the reference gather checker or host, I think it may be the word that I will use, the reference host, to give a brief oral report. In particular, if there's anything that might be pertinent to generate questions during the interview process. With that, I'm going to ask Lois to guide us through a few comments about the report that she presented this morning on the suggested interview questions.
I'd like to acknowledge the committee, Dan Walter, Harriet Porter, Paul Taylor, and Jennifer Godinez. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. It is the RCAC interview materials, these two pieces that were at your place, pink and white, built on a foundation, 2007-2009 questions. There were about 17 of those, and considerable work that Harriet Porter worked on 2 years ago. So built on that foundation, followed by interviews with many regents. And this is the white piece of paper that has a lead-in paragraph asking thoughts that they would have as to skill sets that would be positive for the RCAC, for the regents, and secondly, having gone through the regents' questioning process with the RCAC, if they had any guidance. They shared wonderfully, and that is the full page of bulleted items. They're broken up into groups just so that it isn't overwhelming visually to look at the list. Shared for your thoughts and considerations as we make our decisions and recommendations. Now to the pink sheet, which is, as I said, built on a foundation, has new questions in it as well. If you could take your pen and make a mark after number 17, and then make a mark after number 20, and make a mark after number 24. Context of that is the committee felt that 1 through 17 are logical questions to attempt to ask of nearly every candidate, assuming that they haven't hit the nails on the head in their comments. That 18 through 20 might be a strong fallback for such a situation. And then 21 through 24, a second tier fallback, 25 through 27, just in case we felt we hadn't really gotten a sense of those things in our own reading and knowledge of the person. So 1 through 17 would be the recommended, suggested questions that we work with.
Can I just ask a question? Yes, under number 24, sub-bullet 2, when the university has to cut the budget, that is sent to the president, the vice presidents, to come forth with recommendations to the regent. And I'm afraid this, as stated, would make them think that's their job, and it really isn't. I mean, they could talk strategically about it, but the bringing forth a 10 to 15% is really management, not governance.
Would agree, and you would note that it's, you know, it's very down in the range.
I know, but you know, it's because Regent Beeson really stressed to us in the first meeting that he is worried about the financial expertise of the people coming on the Regent's financial things will be very important. That if we don't hear it, we ask about it.
Mr. Chair, I would encourage the members of the body to take seriously into consideration and perchance strike that question, that second bullet.
Second bullet.
Well, as we go through these questions for, I'll just take a brief moment. For the new members of the council, and as a quick review, past tradition has been we don't necessarily have assigned questions. There aren't necessarily an order of questions. It's rather informal, and we ask the candidates to give a brief opening statement. After that opening statement, this morning for the first interview, I've asked Harriet to have a question ready just to make sure we have one ready to go and to get us moving. And after that, please raise your hands or try to get my attention or give me a notice letting me know that you're ready to ask a question. And we'll just try to get around the room and ask as many questions as we can. And at approximately 20 minutes, with about 5 minutes left in the interview process, we'll try to wrap it down and ask the candidate for a closing statement. One of the challenges is, as we get started, I would appreciate it if the host or the person who had conducted the references would go out into the hallway and greet the candidate and bring them in and introduce them to everyone. But I would really like them seated at the time that the interview is supposed to start in order for us to keep on schedule. So if you're the host for a candidate, please try to keep them moving around the room as you introduce them to people. Then once they're seated, we can hopefully get started on time and to give every candidate an equal opportunity and an equal chance to have enough time to answer our questions and to do their opening and closing statements. Are there any other questions about these suggested questions? And these are, as the word says, suggested. If there's something that comes up that you feel you would like to know more about, by all means, please ask. Ardell?
And I fully understand what Margaret is saying about the financial thing that the staff have to deal with. But I will say, several legislators, both from Rochester and other that knew I was on this council again, ask or tell me, said, make sure those candidates know about, and it's kind of in reference to the Wall Street Journal thing and the Washington Post.
About the U of M.
About the U of M, you know, too many administrators, whatever, the financial thing.
Yeah.
Is that an appropriate question to ask? How they would react to it, and what, as a regent, can they or should they do?
Don't assume they've read the Wall Street Journal or even the opinion piece in the Star Tribune, but pose it as the Wall Street Journal, followed by the Star Tribune, said there's too much administration, because I don't think we want to try to catch somebody saying, I didn't read it. That's a Sarah Palin moment, and that is unfair.
And on the other hand, if someone is running for this position and is not aware that the Wall Street Journal had a two-page article and that, you know, we've had a lot of news here about it, that would be interesting, at least. Not in a catching way, but I think we would take note of that.
I would ask every candidate that if I were you, because I think that's one of the nail-on-the-head questions for the next 5 to 10 years.
Jim, you had a...
These have not been provided to them, is that correct? These are our internals.
These are our internals.
Okay, thank you.
George? Last night I even thought of a couple of questions myself. Is it all right to ask questions that may not be listed on here?
Please.
Thank you.
Yes. Yep. Anything else on interview process before we go into... Yes.
Could we just kind of have a refresher on the questions we cannot ask?
That's a good
point.
I know before there was a reference to our a statement about someone's age.
That's right.
Legal questions, but if there's anything else, if there's any legal kind of legal counsel here, just again to kind of briefly go through the priorities of questions that would be inappropriate to ask.
Yeah, well,
would
it's typically age, marital status, children, those more personal type of questions. Those are... As far as interviewing with candidates or interviews in particular, those are questions that you have.
We also want to be cautious about asking questions that might infer any of those things. We have information, I believe, about when they graduated, or do we not? But we don't want to ask questions around when did you graduate from high school, or when did you attend the university? Anything that might imply that we're looking at age. Same thing about family status. Let's see, Kathy, can you think of anything else?
Just the standard stuff: sexual orientation, marriage, age. Just, you know, what you would normally ask in an employment situation.
If it's personal, stay away from it.
If I may add, I think those personal direct questions certainly are would be inappropriate. On the other hand, one of our key issues here is the time commitment and their ability to juggle this with their other responsibilities. Those general questions, even though it may impact what they're doing in their personal life, I think are appropriate. They'll have to determine, of course, how they juggle this particular undertaking.
If there are no more comments in that area, I'd like to move on to reference checks for this morning's interviews. The goal is we probably have a little over 10 minutes to try to get this section wrapped up for three candidates. So... this is by no means the last time we will talk about the candidates or their references. However, the primary purpose right now is to talk about this, the three candidates for this morning. This is an open meeting, so I will remind everyone of our procedure to try to protect the specific reference points that that were provided by the people who were interviewed. So there is a system of numbers set up, I think, in all of the written reference reports. And I would ask that the people making, who made the comments to the reference taker, are not identified. So with that, I would like to move on to our first interview this morning, reference checks for Dennis Nguyen.
Nguyen.
I think it's just Win.
Win.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to need a little help with that. But
just as in you win a game.
Win a game.
Just
as in when. So who took the checks this morning for Lois?
We'd like to call your attention to reference check number 4, which was provided in writing by the party. It is wonderfully thorough, and it's a pleasure to work with our candidates. This one brings an awfully lot to bear. He chose his references to reflect different periods and roles in his life to try give a broad picture of his background. And then reference number 5 was one of those that went beyond to talk about board service. All very positive. Would you like us to go into more detail, or is that sufficient?
It's the floor is yours for a few minutes.
Okay, for a few minutes. Okay. This candidate left Vietnam in less than 24 hours as a 5-year-old. Grew up in Southern California, unique in the environment, having come in that way. Through scholastic aptitude and hard work, has become quite a citizen. And a citizen in the United States manner, from as far as being an accomplished person on this side of the ocean. But he took his skill set to cross the Pacific and did so early on as investment was beginning in Southeast Asia. So he builds business bridges across those two continents from the East Coast to the West Coast as far as investors, and then works in multiple countries in Southeast Asia. One of the pieces that came through in the references is the phenomenal respect that he has by people on both sides of that ocean, the investors here and the business people that are worked with over there. His undergrad work was at University of California, Irvine. He has been very active at that institution in board capacity and as a donor. One of the comments that came through from that perspective is how wonderfully well he utilizes his business contacts on behalf of the higher education institutions that he works with. And, so I think I'd perchance like to ask that the rest of my time be used to review the comments of the of the interviewees.
And does anyone have any specific questions for Lois about Dennis?
Very good reference checks, I thought.
Yes.
Okay, then I would like to move on to our...
May I state one more thing? It's not hard for me as an individual looking at the strength of this type of a personality to assume that they're very hard driving. And one of the comments that came through from the University of California was just the opposite. Absolutely accessible, very personable, laid back in style. And then repeatedly how effectively he worked in groups. So look forward to people's opportunities to see that. Did have a chance to speak with him just briefly on Friday, and those words held true.
Any other comments about Dennis? Then I would like to ask who did the reference checks for the 9:30 interview with Jessica? Yes, Jennifer?
I just wanted to just want to stress that both of the references are have been Regent, so I thought they were really strong kind of understanding of the applicant and the candidate, I should say, and what kind of skills the Regents would need. So what they really stressed about Jessica, I think there were common themes about her having worked with AFL-CIO and really working with young people, organizing the labor movement from a different perspective. So they thought she brought really fresh ideas and actually implemented things both at a local level and national level to make that a stronger organization. One of the things that I don't know if I mentioned, but Maureen stressed this, that Jessica has a lot of experience working as an admissions person and also, I think, at the School of Public Health. So she kind of has this internal working understanding of the work in the university. And this question about financial management came up in terms of what might be a weakness. Well, I think a strong point that Steve made and Maureen as well is kind of the learning curve for anybody who's run a $3 billion institution. Certainly people have larger finance or complex organization background. But they thought that what Jessica's strengths were really kind of understanding the big picture and institutional strategic thinking along with this interpersonal kind of relationship building with constituents or people involved with that institution. So I think we should, she probably wouldn't have that. She's a 3M CEO perspective, but they thought that in terms of the balance that the Regents needed, she would bring in a fresh kind of perspective and understanding of that interpersonal relationships with constituents along with big strategic thinking. That's all I would stress about.
Paul.
Jennifer, she had listed 4 references, and we have recaps for 2 of them.
Yeah, I tried to reach a third. I didn't realize there was a 4th, so the third never got back to me.
All right, thank you.
Would it be helpful to check on those before we vote? Because I think she's disadvantaged when people are checking 4 and 5 references, and you have 2, and they're both Regents.
One of the challenges that I know I'm going to have is we're going to come off a candidate like Dennis on our 8:30 interview who has done many, many worldly things. And Jessica, who in a short period of time has done many wonderful things as well, but her period of time is much shorter. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm going to have to make sure I keep my mind open to not compare the two because it's not a comparison.
And to think about the various skills that are needed for a strong one.
Any other questions for Jennifer, David?
Well, an observation, if you don't mind, Mr. Chair, on that. I think that's important to understand that people have different backgrounds because they're starting their careers in the middle of their careers, at the end of their careers. Those are valid considerations to take and weigh. At the same time, we want the absolute best candidates for the Board of Regents that we can get, and sometimes maturity and experience is going to play a big role in that decision.
Any other comments for Jennifer on Jessica's references? I'd like to move on to Jerry. You did the reference checks for Laura.
I did, and if you notice, my summary is maybe I didn't read directions right, but I kind of summarized them all as a group rather than listing who they came from individually. And I guess when we talk about the age thing, this really demonstrates, and I think for me it got to be thinking about this position is somewhat different than the rest of the Regents from the standpoint of the student aspect. As you can tell from the references, they've not known her a long time, but this is an undergraduate student at the university. And I think if one of the things I got impressed with doing this is one of the things we had to look at, if they really want a student perspective, here's somebody who really has it. We have a wide range of people applying as a student, but this is somebody who really is living the aspect of the being a student. And as maybe most of them are, I just phenomenally glowing references from all of the people I talk with, saying this is a special individual. She's going to do great things in this world. Just give her time to do them, or give her a chance to do them, I guess, is another way it was first brought out. One of the interesting perspectives is the lady she worked with in the public interest group really didn't know nothing about the university. She's based in Chicago. She worked with her in California, and Gee, the university, is that a big institution? You know, it was really kind of interesting, and her giving aspects to her with not knowing really what she's applying for. But again, she was one of her first people that she worked with as she became a college student, and said she was just absolutely excellent at organizing, kind of taking over organizations as far as becoming a leader, influencing other people, and really what the organization is involved with, a lot of advocacy sort of things, involved with the environmental things and social justice issues, and you know, that's the sort of things that she's really been involved with. So her experience as a formal board setting such as the Board of Regents is not as much as it is in organizations and developing new ideas and developing on organizations. In fact, what's the name of that food group one? That she's kind of one of the founders of that one, which turns out is becoming an organization I never heard anything about. But the lady from the Southeast Como organization that was really impressed by the work she'd done with that as well. So I think, this is something, like I said, she's the only thing I have, one of the references that the only thing I worry about with her, she takes on so much, and maybe people can really do this, but said, I couldn't take on everything and do such a good job without my life being overstressed, but she said she does not seem to have that happen. So that's kind of my overall view of my references.
Anyone have any questions for Jerry?
One other comment I'd make is, you know, when I ask the questions about the diversity, each of these, three of my four references made a reference to the diversity, not speaking about ethical diversity, saying that there are many types of diversity, and that she is easily able to work with anybody and everybody, people with all different experiences, people with different stages in their lives, and saying they considered her to be well versed in diversity for that reason.
Any other comments for Jerry? We're a few minutes before we'd like to start our first interview. I would like to ask that we will probably do the reference checks for this afternoon's interviews during our working lunch. That's all right. And hopefully we'll be able to make it more of a lunch and less of a working, if we can. But we'll see what happens. Is there any other questions? Are there any other issues that we need to bring up before we begin our first interview?
Could you all finish your lunch selections?
Speaking of lunch, yes. Okay, thank you. So this morning when we started, all of the council members introduced themselves. I'm not going to let our guests in the audience get off quite so easily if they would like to. If you're going to be with us for the next few days, or even if you're not, if you'd like to stand up and introduce yourselves.
Hi, everybody. You've probably seen in the audience before. My name is Ken Savory. I work in the Office of the Board of Regents. I am a senior staff person to the board. I take care of the Facilities Committee, the Finance Committee. And my previous life, I spent a lot of time over at MMB. I was here helping write the budget, take care of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. So I'm there with finance and offer advice to the board on that.
Thank you, Ken.
Hi, I'm Dave Butson. I was on the Board of Regents for 12 years, and I'm just very, I think this is so important what you're doing, and I believe so much in the process. I just kind of know that. I just want to know that we're going to get a great candidate out of this, and I'm happy I'm not interviewing again. So thank you for your service. This is very important. And not every state does it like this. This is something you ought to preserve here.
Thank you.
I'm Trisha Grimes. I work for the State Office of Higher Education, and my former boss was Dave Metzen. My current boss is Larry Pogemiller.
Thank you. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, so thank you for. Any other business we need to take care of before we get started on our first interview? I know I'm going to fill my coffee cup before we get started.